£20 in 2 days.
Yeah, but the days would be, what time we got, 5 o'clock, 6? Be a 12, 13 hour day,
right,
compared to a Howard Boardman would be 8 hours a day.
Right. And they'd be getting £9,
yeah,
for 5 days.
Something like that. We found an old settlement sheet,
right,
off the old man's there a few months ago. And in the early 60s, I think his day's wages, day's gross, and I just can't remember now. It wasn't much different then. What he grows, I know, was £400 or £500. I can't remember now. Was that for the week? Oh, I just can't think. What he got for the week? That's the wrong way around. What he was catching a day was what some of the boats were catching in a week here nowadays.
Right.
And that was on a small boat, and that was only about 4 dredges a side, whereas 4 inches. He had 8 foot of spread of gear. 16 foot was, I think nowadays they're using something like 20 foot,
right,
22 foot of spread of gear.
Yeah.
That's on the scallop slide,
right.
Yes. I thought of that when I was downstairs, and I can't think of what it was. It's gone out. If you don't get out quick,
yeah,
it's gone. Which is mainly gone.
Yeah. So you were saying about that you could sort of make up to £120 a week in the 60s, but the number of weeks I'd imagine that you could be doing that.
That was a thing. Actually, yeah, that was only the third week I'd been out. That was springtime, I think. Longer. It was nicer days. I was lucky enough. I was always on a decent enough boat to, if there was anything going, they got the whack sort of thing. So, we went on bad money, were we, compared to everybody else? I think it was Michael Brickley, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no, you went to Australia. What was,
oh, that's right. He came in.
He went to Australia.
That's right, yeah.
In the September, we got married in the July, and they went to.
He came on the Acacia with me, didn't he?
Yeah. But he
that's
went
right,
to
I was on the Acacia, I was on a couple of weeks, and then he came on the Acacia with us.
Yeah, but he yeah, went to Australia about 4 months after we got married.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, but when I was on the. When the Acacia got laid up, he went on that Clearwater. Wasn't he going to go out to South Africa, and she broke down and never got.
Okay.
I was a tugboat that came here. Binstock, somebody was on a Benson or something, and they were going to go down to South Africa to do some survey work or something. And that was in the mid 60s, 65 or something. I could tell you to the year if my book is set. Yeah, because when they were here, they went and raised a boat to the Golden Promise.
All right.
Have you seen this book?
I'm not sure.
This is a book of wrecks all around about the island,
right,
going back the ladder.
Yeah.
Yes. I found it quite interesting, actually. Golden Promise. 66, that's when she was sunk. So it would be about 65,
yeah,
or something like that. Because I remember that whole thing, she was pretty new.
So, I mean, on a really good week when you were getting 120, all three people on the boat, I mean, how did the shares actually work?
What they used to do, well, what we've done all along is you take your fuel expenses out and the groceries, oh, insurance stamps and all that, and then it was split on our boats, it was split 8 ways. That would be 5 for the boat. Oh, that's wrong. I 5 for the boat and 3 for the crew. That was
right.
I was going to say 4 there for a minute. And that's what it, so the boat bought all the gear, you see.
Right.
So, some fellas used to work it slightly different, but it all came out much, much the same.
Right, so you always put away pay over half of the money.
That's right,
sort of ongoing expenses.
Well, I both paid the insurance, all the repairs and all the gears. And really speaking, well, you couldn't say, well, I'll give you a tenner a day or whatever.
Yeah.
Because many days you wouldn't be out sort of thing. So it was on a share basis and everybody would have done their share sort of thing. Heron, we earn good money on the heron too when you can catch them. They were good money when we were fishing them in the 70s, like. Especially when the price was up, like, the prices went up to 70, 80 pound a unit. They did that go as high as 90 odd pound. But they were only the lucky boats.
Right.
We were never that fortunate.
So how many units would you usually sort of hope to?
Well, depending on the quotas, like what they mainly do, they went to try and catch as many as they can. And when the quotas first came in, they used to, if they caught over their quota, I think ours was, so that's 50, 40 units. Oh, no, that's right, when we first started fishing them ourselves, it was only 10 units, which is 20 boxes. 50 kilos to a box, I think it was supposed to be, depending on the box or something. But that was only 10 units, which was nothing really. Well, it was good money because the prices were high and there just seemed to be a few around at the time. When we first started, like, we didn't really know nothing about them. Although I'd done it before, but it was only the deckhand, you didn't actually do the work in the wheelies, which is where most of it is done. And then all the times later, it got on, it was good. We done it for a few weeks at the end of one season, and next season we had a better idea when we went to it, and we done it right. We were quite happy with what we were doing. That was just, that was just home blindly. We just do one tow. Well, most of the week, for a few weeks, we were just going out having the one tow, and we were getting our 10 units, and that was doing us like we were fish for 12 o'clock, so we were quite happy, and it was cheap to run as well.
So that was 10 units a day you could actually
land? That's right, 20 boxes. And then as the season got on, like, it went up, because the seasons, I think we were going in July time then, at that time. And as the season comes towards the back end of the summer, the hen come thicker. And so they were keeping some back for that. And there's more spawn here at the back end of the end of August, September. They come around the Douglas side where they do the spawn.
Oh, right.
So they were a lot thicker when they came out there, so the Scotsman used to come in as well.
I'll just switch it off for a second.
I thought
you were saying about going out fishing on a Sunday. I know that a lot of the boats now don't actually fish on a Sunday, so that things like the kipper yards and whatever, there's no, or with the fish shops, there's no fresh fish on the Monday because nothing's actually been landed until the Monday evening. So how come you were fishing on a Sunday, whereas most people sort of say, well, the boats don't go out to fish on a Sunday? Or was it actually quite normal, standard for everybody to fish on a Sunday?
Well, no, it was just your own preferential. Like, some fellas would like to go out on a Saturday night, so they say, oh, we're having Sunday off. But a lot of us came around was because when we started fishing quinnies, like, we were on the deck all day and on our hands and knees. We had to pick quinnies on our hands and knees. And it was a bit tough on the knees. And then, that's right, the market there controlled or something. They didn't want quinnies on a Monday for some reason. Because lots of the quinnies just get shipped away when they first started fishing them. They were getting shipped away to Witton or somewhere like that, up to Kakubri, I think they were ending up getting cleaned. And then they got started here on the island, like, within months or something. And they just got into the habit of not wanting of the weekend, so we more or less kited on.
Right. You were saying about the fact that with the going out for scallops and queenies meant that you could never go out as an evening.
Social life was non-existent. Lots of times we didn't go out because I had to get up next morning. So, thing, and when you did get out, like sort of Saturday, if you'd been fishing all week, you were that tired, so a couple of pints and you were well on the way.
Did you ever have any sort of set times of the year off where you sort of, you laid the boat up for doing repairs and had that as sort of like a holiday?
Yeah, at the end of May, like when we finished the scull season, we used to lie up at the end of May, well, for a fortnight, 3 weeks, like just depending on how long it took. That was sort of classed as a holiday. The first holiday we've had in 26 years was this year.
Last year,
yeah. That's the first time we've had a holiday together for as long. 2 or 3 days. Last year was the first time we've had a holiday.
So I take it that...
Mind you, I don't like holidays.
Right.
So I take it that the time off that the boat was laid up was usually just spent working on the boat.
That's right, yeah. Painting and doing whatever you want. And then get ready for the legs of the Queen. It's like, we used to change the gear for that. Used to be bigger dredges, and but we used to only tow two at one time. And then they got cut smaller, so it was four, but it was still only the same spread of gear.
So you actually have different dredges for Queenies?
That's right, boats. Yeah. The smaller rings, like if you've seen the chain bellies on a thing, they're smaller. So some boats used to fish, but mainly if you're stuck to the one job, instead of trying to catch everything, it was far better.
Right.
You knew where you were.
Right.
Later on, that must have been the 72, we started fishing Queenies with a net.
Oh, right.
In dirtier places where we couldn't work with the dredges because it was that dirty.
Right.
They were just filling up with muck. Whereas we started using a net, like, it was a lot cleaner.
Right.
Yeah. And that was good. That wasn't too bad a job now. Well, that's changed as well, because the grounds have got ripped up now, there's stones. Yeah.
So when about were you using a net?
Usually from, where about?
Also, when about?
Well, that was from May up till Christmas, end of May, July, up to Christmas, like, just depending how you got through your jobs.
So was that in the 80s, or sort of like the 90s?
Yeah, about being the 80s or something, I think we started using them. That's right, yeah. Yeah, late 70s. But well, the Queenies beds go right around the island as well. Like, most of the things are all... We're still fishing very much the same grounds for most things. Heron was a slightly... The whitefish is slightly different than heron was sort of different. But the scallops and Queenies are very much the same. Same grounds.
So where were the fishing grounds for the whitefish?
Well, sometimes they were towed through the grounds, but they had to go down to the mucky grounds where we couldn't work the dredges.
Right.
Or mud, like for the prawns, we want the mud for the prawns. So on Douglas side, there's not much mud, so there wasn't no prawns. Unless you go right over to Whitehaven, Selka there. And on Peel side, like, they come in as low as 3 mile off, or 3.5 mile off Peel, off Bradhead.
Yeah.
And then go way north, or off south, like, north or south. That's as close as they come around there, that I know of anyway. The whitefish, like, never really done a lot of that. Well, we've done the odd bit, but not an awful lot. We were never really so-called successful at it, but we only done it for a few days, so I think to fill in. Well, the price is mainly on the island. Like, you had to have an awful lot of fish to make a decent living on them.
Right.
Because, there is the odd boat, two boats mainly stick, they'll try to stick to the whitefish if they can, but one of them's down off the Chickens, the other's up on Peel Lake, where there is more whitefish. That's where all the prawn boats are, you know, on the Peel side. Right down to the Chickens, or right off the Chickens.
I was going to ask, if you had to sort of sum up the time you spent fishing, what would you sort of say about it? Been enjoyable, or sort of, how would you sort of sum it up?
I don't know.
If you had all your time again, would you sort of still do it?
Good job to say. some jobs, like everything else, it's got its ups and downs. You certainly go on the good times. Lots of the time when you're fishing, if you were catching fish, you never thought of money. It's when you weren't catching them, the money came into it. When you're at the Heron, like, you'd be doing nothing most of the day. And then you get one tower, which you get 80 or 90 units, which all them Heron got to be boxed. All, at that time, they were all being boxed like in our boats. And there was quite a lot of graft to go into it. We used to have four or five of us aboard our boat. There'd be three down filling the boxes, or three emptying the net and two down filling the boxes. And that used to be hard going, for about, an hour and a half. You didn't stop. It doesn't sound like a lot, an hour and a half, but they're going flat out the whole time, because the first thing we want to do is get the fish aboard and get away to the market, sort of thing.
Did you used to have ice on board for catching?
Early on in the year, we do, around May time we did. I certainly liked the heron fishing, that was the best job of the lot. But it's everything, if you're doing well at it, you like it. Nobody likes when things are hard. I don't know, I've never minded, because I've sort of grown up with it. I've never had an office job or inside. I wouldn't like to say where I was still doing, not doing, doing anything else. This last 8 months of the... I don't think I've ever had so many lie-ins. I was lying now to 8 o'clock, which is something we didn't do. Well, somebody else gets up a bit earlier now. I would like to say, I think if I was the owner, I think... See, we were a family boat, and we only got the same wages as the crew. But I think if I'd been an owner, I dare say I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
How much would a skipper normally get if he was the owner of the boat? As his share?
Well, some would take maybe half a share more, some would take a percentage, and then you've got others that just took the same. But he always had that little bit in the bank account, so he could go on thing, whereas the crew couldn't do that. If he wanted to go on holiday, he'd just go to the bank, sort of thing. He didn't have to save quite the same. A crewman would go home and be finished with sort of thing, and the skipper or the owner would have to be running around doing all sorts of things, like being prepared for tomorrow, sort of things.
With it being a sort of a family boat and self-employed, whose job was it to sort of keep the books? I'm thinking of being self-employed, the sort of VAT and all of the sort of...
It was always the old man done it, and the old woman done it up until the family died. But then the younger brother and my mother's done it up to a year or so ago. I was lucky in some respects, I didn't have to do all that. But you see, that fell about us. He was the youngest and he was still at home. So he was there when they were doing them at weekends or whatever days they'd done them. So he knew more what was going on than what we did. Because I didn't know the price of a shackle, I would just go and book it, sort of thing. Whereas he knew the prices and they knew what to go and get, sort of thing. But it was mainly paying bills, running around paying the bills.
So it was your younger brother as well who was sort of involved with provisioning the boat and getting new equipment?
No, we'd done that ourselves. He just paid the bills. That's all. If we want a new set of two bars, each one of us ran our own boat. But he'd done the good work for them all.
Were you able... you can get the repairs done on the island, but sort of buying new gear and whatever. That got on the island?
All that was got on the island. We used to get it all off on the island. Everything. The only thing you got off the island was a new winch or a new engine or whichever, but everything was done on the island.
Where could you get such a...
The dredges we used to get from Port... Well, at one time we used to get Mandy Jogging over the back of Strand Street. And then the latter years we used to get them from Ernie Leeson Peel and then Frank Madrill and Port St Mary. They're still doing them. And then we get the winch and the engines repaired up in Ramsey.
Is that at the shipyard?
At the shipyard, yeah. Goofy Kelly's.
And things like your sort of... oil skins, was that for the Fishermen's Co-op?
Yeah, Fishermen's Association. Yeah. fuel, like with some shell and everything like that, yeah. We got very little off the island. If we think it's only the likes of a new net, likes of them that, but we got nets off the island. There is one man making them on the island.
So where would you get nets off the island?
Mainly in Barrasses in Fleetwood. Or we usually will get some in Kirkeel at one time. Or we got some in Kirkeel and some in Barrasses. It's only the last, 15, 20 years that we're using this. Like, years ago they did use them, but I don't really know much about them. I remember the old man coming in when they were seeing them. Well, where they got the nets from, I don't know. Like, they used to have an auction down outside the market there in Douglas here one time. Like, for the, when they were seeing it.
Oh, right. So you could actually buy your gear at an auction?
No, they sell the fish, yeah. I only just about remember that sort of thing.
And things like sort of ropes and whatever you could get from the Fishermen's Association?
Yeah. I think at one time they used to make them up in Crickens.
Oh, right, yes.
Glad somebody agrees with me, because some people don't remember the main over there. We sort of vaguely remember.
By the time you were a child, sort of the sail makers and the net makers and the rope makers in Douglas had mainly closed.
Yeah, they were mainly stopped. Yeah. The only person I remember having sail makers was the steam packet.
Right.
They had a man, well, he certainly didn't make sails, but he was going, the latter years. He would be going around doing some water bits. I forget what they used to actually do. I know they had a fella class as a sailmaker, but they never had no sails in my lifetime. I think it was just the covering, the canvas covers for the lifeboats and all that sort of thing.
They used to do
the upholstery and all that. The Gals Foundry's gone now too. There's not the people around the quayside. I forgot all about them things that have gone. I got to think of the latest call Sun Cowries and all the thing that used to be, that's where Esso is.
Oh, right.
Well, that used to be a big place as well at one time.
So what was it called to Cowries?
Mainly educational stuff,
right.
I remember. And the National Coal Board there.
Yeah.
The coasters coming in, the little Ben Elm and all that. Little puffers.
Did you used to get things made at Gellings for the boats?
Personally, I must have got one or two little things there, because I remember being in a few times, but I can't remember what we... I think they used to make a dredge too. I think they were making dredges at one time. Not an awful lot, but mainly for the Douglas boats, I think.
So you'd have gone in as a child with your father when he was ordering
some? Yeah, I forget all about them things in the gasworks.
So was, I mean, I take it was much more sort of like a working harbour.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like real hive of activity.
That's right, yeah. Well, you could go down the quayside years ago and there'd be always somebody down there to talk to. You go down nowadays, there's nobody. You can go down there and not see nobody. Yeah. Like so today, you'd go down there and you'd find two or three of them sat around a corner somewhere talking. Because Cretney's, Bonner Ridgeway Street there on the quayside. That used to be the grocer's shop. And that used to be where lots of boats got their stores from.
Right.
And they'd be all standing around there in the corner. And there used to be a shoe mender down there, Bobby King. And, he was always in there, but there used to be quite a lot of fishermen who used to go in there for a year. Because he was there all day, all cobbling away, and they'd be in there standing out of the cold, or out of the wind, or the rain.
Did any of the fishermen in your time used to get sort of any salt or ice for sort of packing? Fish, as soon as they were unloaded, they were sort of packed up for the Klondikers, or they taken straight onto the Klondikers?
They were taken straight on. They'd sold them as they were putting them in the barrels.
Right.
As you took the boxes out, they'd be putting them in barrels and selling them at the
same
time.
Was that on the quayside, or was that putting them onto the boats?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where he's got. Brother's got a tape. That's got lots of these old pictures of the boats around about.
Right.
In the early 70s and whatnot.
So he actually took photographs?
Yeah, he had an old cine camera in him.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And he's got one of us fishing as well, with the twinny dredgers on.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Because, like, you got to imagine, he was only 15 at the time, and he's up on top of the wheel and running around the deck and all sorts while we were home. Right. Yeah, I'll give you an idea what the we used to go through.
That would be perfect. Mm.
It shows you the dredger steaming behind us as right. well, like how we shot them. Yeah, and he's got some of the boats in there, and the Klondike was in at the piers and whatnot, right. and the barrels, and the boats around about the harbours. Right. So some of it, like, as I say, the pictures and everything, but it certainly gives you the idea of it. And with us knowing, like, it just fetches back the memories.
Well, that's wonderful.
Because you can remember it. He's got this. Sorry, since he's got this video camera, he had a cine camera years ago, and he used to get fed up with that because of the tapes and whatnot.
Right.
And then he's got all sorts of light boats on it as well, going down the slip.
Oh, right.
And then, that's mainly going down the slip. He hasn't got no interviews or anything like that because he just all panned around sort of thing.
Well, you might hear George shouting in the background.
So what he's been doing, any pictures he's been finding of late. He's just been there to video on them.
Right, so
because he says all these things are lost and all sorts of things. Like, he's into all this. Well, he's into every bloody thing. Because I had an auntie living down in Castletown, and her house was like a museum. Like, everything was brass sort of thing around. And, she's got a home now, and the house had to be sold. And he was saying, just a couple of years ago, she's only gone in this last year or so. And he said, that house should be left to the museum. He said, still as it was. But years ago, everything, and she used to go around polishing. Like, she's 80, and it was still like a new pin when you went in. Like, nothing was out of place.
Right.
I'll get them videos for you. We find them quite interesting, maybe because we know most of them. But it's just thinking back. He has got one or two of the old things. He's got all around the harbours here.
Right.
Like, may not be all in one go sort of thing, but if you think about bits and pieces, and he's got no timing on, but. Tell you lots of them.
Well, that's always the nice thing, is that when you see the pictures, it makes you remember.
That's it, you can associate to it.
One thing I just wanted to check was that when you took the boxes of fish off the boats, and then they were actually put into barrels on the quayside, and then the barrels were
when we were fishing a heron, we used to just come in, and if depending on who bought from Kipper's or Klondikers. So there was, like, up to a lot of years later, a barrel on the quayside. And on the breakwater, there used to be full of barrels. They used to be just tipped straight into troughs, like, and were scooped down through a channel into a barrel. And then they'd be rolled off, stacked, and let settled. And then they'd be topped up in a couple of days' time. On the luggers, used to do the same thing, but they'd only be able to take so many barrels until they got settled, and then they'd hammer them down and then stack them. And then things like that. That's how that was,
I wasn't sure if there was, if you used to carry ice on the boats, because I know that the Whitby boats, when they're up along the quayside, they actually have this, it's like a big tower, and you can actually put ice the hold of
that's
the boat.
That's right,
Was there ever anything like that in Douglas?
No, not ice, no. What we used to do when we did carry ice was go and get a wagon and get it from Peel, get a couple of tons from Peel. Peel's got a nice making plant down there.
Right. Who had the ice making plant?
Jones, Peel.
So where's
still there.
Where's
it's in the fish yard.
Oh, in the fish yard, right.
Just go in, it's on your left.
Right. So you used to just get a wagon?
Yeah. Well, we all, it's got to use a wagon wherever you go in the island. We only made ice, like, if we went to the prawns, which was very rare. we did fish prawns in the Chris Lake, didn't we?
We did one, because
we weren't,
because
we weren't rigged for sculpts and queen, you should say, when we got the Chris Lake. She was only rigged for net. We did get done for it. We tried the prawns for a while, and it was only from September to February or something, was it? Did we do that one?
I remember having to take Rose Springs and groceries and all sorts down because she never come home.
Yeah, we only done for a few months.
Time you never come home was when you were doing the prawns.
Didn't like the prawns because you had to tail them at that time.
Oh, right.
You'd be standing on the deck tailing.
Right.
then you could, well, we were taking the lift. Well, we used to take 20 boxes in a lift. So, not necessarily a problem for off Heron, so the problem thing was much the same if you want to work it out.
Yeah.
There was 100 kilos to a unit. there's 10 units in the lift that we used to take. So that much in problems like to be a biggie.
Yeah.
And then yeah, they had little things and they got booms. Well, the little ones you didn't tail because
right.
they were too small, and then you.
So about an inch up
yeah,
to.
Yeah, some size your finger.
Right.
Unless you're really slack like us, we're even smaller.
Right.
Mainly because we didn't know what we were doing. So you'd be on the deck for a couple of hours just
yeah.
going through a big heap tailing them. So we didn't like that.
Right.
You'd hold up, well, we used to hold our last tow at 5 o'clock and not get finished till 9 o'clock. But we used to shoot about 6 o'clock in the morning. And, the first 4 hours you'd done nothing.
Yeah.
Only sleep. And then you had breakfast and then you went and hauled and then you'd be on the deck most of the day then. It was alright on a sunny day.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't do that too long because we didn't like it.
Right. So about what year would that be when you got that?
I'd be in the late 70s.
Paul was only a baby. It was 78. Paul was born in 77.
Well, when did we get first
like
that? Yeah.
Sorry, I have to go back that way. I would say that.
Yeah,
it
would be
so.
Oh, I say, we only had the crystal light about 16, 17 years, didn't we?
Mm. Well, when did we get her? 75?
Something like that, yeah. So big,
oh,
yeah. 75 in the mid-70s.
I was going to ask, what does the name come from?
It's Scottish.
Oh,
she
right.
was both from Scotland. It's a precious stone in Scotland. It's
right.
a greeny colour stone, from what I can gather.
Right, so you didn't rename the boat?
No.
You just kept
no,
the
well,
name.
The old fellows used to reckon I was not to change the boat's name. And the old man, like, had lots of things to
superstitions.
Well, not lots, but
so
he didn't really worry about them, but he wouldn't go out of his
yeah.
way to go against them.
Right. So what sort of superstitions did your father?
Well, I never actually heard much out of him, like, but I used to fish with fellas called the swimmers. You weren't allowed to mention long fellas on the deck.
Yep.
Your
father didn't like having rabbits?
No. But he ended up having one.
Well, he did with that, yeah.
That's another thing you weren't allowed to say. Whistling.
Yeah.
Sticking a knife in the mast.
Yeah,
I don't know. Oh, I forgot about them now. Because that's another thing. It's not the superstition now in the things as well. She's women
well,
aboard the boat.
A woman on a boat. He didn't like the work. Oh, God, he'd turn in his grave if he saw us on the patrol
race. Oh, right.
Yes, it was supposed to be
a decision
for a woman.
There was one fellow up till a couple of years ago. He still won't let the thing. His wife and kids went out on the boat the girls.
And was there anything about people that you couldn't meet when you were going down to the boat?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Meet a policeman on the way down, or some used to go for a nun as well. Certain fellows. There's a fella in Peel, and he used to say, if I meet that fella coming down in the morning, I'm going back home. He says, every time I've heard, nothing goes right. Going on the ferry bridge, I wouldn't like to tell you what they used to say, going on the ferry bridge. there's lots of fun that I can't remember them all now.
So, what about things like being the third boat out?
That was another one. I never really heard much about that one.
Was that one that was already going out?
I would think so, yeah. It's when I come, I think lots of them are going out when I started to come along. And then don't turn your back on the sun or turn into the sun. Like if you turn around the harbour, always turn into the sun, not to turn away from it.
Right.
That one, I keep forgetting that one. Because these are all things now you've forgotten because
right.
you don't hear them mentioned sort of thing. I was always down the north. Was it down the north or up the north? God, the old man.
Down the north.
Yeah, down the north. That was the old man. He used to live around and say, yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, up the north.
There used to be quite a few of them. I can't remember them now because, not even mention them.
So most fishermen now are still superstitious?
No, that was no thing, salmon. Well, I learned to mention that. It was always John West or somebody. some of the Scottish fellows used to have, you weren't allowed green oilskins. I don't know whether that was just a superstition or if you went over the side where you didn't have much chance of finding it.
Right.
It could have been a bit of that. Yeah. Just brought in as a superstition.
How did the Manx fishermen get on with the Irish and Scottish? And
very well. In fact, I would say when we first started trawling, when we first put a prawn net on, we didn't know nothing about it. And we got more help from the Irishmen. It was unbelievable because we never had that sort of help from our own. Whether our own thought we knew it or not, I don't know. But the help that we got out of Irishmen where fasteners were or wrecks were was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. When we started fishing herring, at first we couldn't catch them. And I don't know why. We still don't know why. Like, first two or 3 weeks we couldn't catch anything. And the Scotsman would tell us how to. Fellas never even met or seen, never spoke to him again. They say, well, check your wires or check your bridles, because when you're fishing for herring, your bridles have to be pretty well spot on. Everything used to have to be more or less spot on, because a half an inch would put them out, would make the net come all crooked and all sorts. And it's the same with the wires, like the wires are all marked, so you know how much wire got out. And you used to have them dead as square as you possibly could get them, so your net would come straight. Like if you had one a half a fathom out, your net would come crooked.
Yeah.
And then it closes the net down, so you won't get the fish in.
Yeah. So was this when you were meeting the other fishermen in the harbour, or was this when
when we're at sea, they'd hear you talking on the wireless.
Right.
And they'd come along and say, try this or try that.
So this is just basically chatting over the
That's
wireless?
That's right, yeah. We even had Scotsman giving us a herring.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't say we knew them, but we spoke to them before. Like, you were just sitting around the quayside, like, and there was one pair of boats went and he shot for 30 units. Like, he had most of his boat and he just shot to make his thing up, and he had, I just don't know, I remember now how much exactly, but he gave about 6 or 7 boats their quarters.
Oh, right. Rather than put the fish back.
That's right, yeah.
It was better to sort
That's
of
right.
give it.
Like, it was slightly illegal what he'd done, because they were slightly over the size. They were only little there compared to some of them that were here. Like, they just went right into Laxey Bay, Bolton Bay. They practically bounced on the rocks, shot the net away, and they towed for 12 minutes. They had, I don't know, a couple of hundred units or something. They just towed out to three miles,
yeah.
Hauled up, and that's what's what they gave, some boats 2 or 3 days' quarters. We only got what was left.
Yeah.
About 20 units. But we were made up with that anyway, so. Yeah. But really, that's another thing. It, like, there's all the policing going around about the island. There's not that much rules getting broke around about the island to what some people make out.
Yeah.
Certainly not the Manx people doing it. There's nobody really fishing inside the 3 mile limit. There shouldn't be. Not breaking the rules to any extent.
Yeah.
Just bend it a little bit, maybe, but nothing.
Yeah.
Thing like when we were fishing herring, like there used to be 70 or 80 footers right inside the limits.
Right.
So there's one pair of boats, like we're pretty well top men, and one of the best shots I had to took was about 100 yards off Douglas Head.
Right. So sort of generally, all the sort of different.
Yeah, some of that. It's just like anything else. It's crooked.
Yeah.
Fellas in our job, it seems what there is and things. But as a rule, you've got on very well with the Irishman and Scotsman. Yeah. Couldn't fault them.
Yeah.
Like, you can't understand the trouble in Northern Ireland when you meet the people.
Yeah.
You know, even Southern Ireland, you go to talk to any of them. I think they're one of the friendliest people you can meet.
Yeah. Were there many English sort of boats out?
Not on the Heron, no. They did try it once or twice, like, but they never seemed to stick to it. Like, I don't honestly know the reason why, but some of them, like, ones that were really friendly with the Manx, like, there wasn't many. Like, I mean, I think that were really friendly.
Yeah.
Well, there's a Manx fella in Fleetwood there now, like, and he fished Scots and Queenies along with us and Heron as well. But they seem to get into much, tried to stick to their traditional ways, sort of
right.
thing. But there were, you know, the fish had gone off and the herring were that good
yeah.
price. Well, the North Sea closed down, that's why the prices were so high.
Right.
And, you know, lots of they couldn't get the herring up there, so they were down here for the herring, and they brought the luggers with them. Like, you have the luggers, like, you've got to have a fleet of boats, and boats are good at catching.
Yeah. So the English boats used to keep more together?
Yeah. They didn't particularly, there was the odd one or two, but not, I think the best I've seen, I think there was a half dozen Fleetwood boats around here for a month or two, but that's about all. But we used to have a couple of regular Welshmen come over, but they fish around the island a fair bit, like not great. Fleetwood fellas fish around the island too, but you see, that Fleetwood's gone down the downward track as well, the same as everywhere else. For the fact that like Fleetwood now is still talked as a big port, and it's really is small on the Isle of Man now
yeah.
to where they used to have. Well, when we were there in July, there was only about a dozen boats there.
Right.
And they reckon that's near enough the fleet. There was only about 15 boats, which is nothing to what it was years ago.
And not that many years ago.
No, no. Everywhere seems to be dying. Like, lots of things with the Irish Sea, it's only like a pond. The likes of fish have migrated, they're not getting into it, because
yeah.
there's boats up in the channel here. And they're just going from the Irish side to the Scottish side, and they're pelagic fishing, and they see a mark of fish, they're lifting their net up, taking it and putting it down wherever the fish is.
Yeah.
And like there's Irish and Scotchmen, that's all they're doing is going back, and they've got the same thing down the channel. So the fish are not, some fish are not getting into the island, into the Irish Sea, it's like a pond. And there's been 130 foot boats fishing here, that should be out in Iceland sort of
yes.
thing. We don't see much of them now. The frail Belgians and Dutchmen that used to be around here, and the Frenchmen. There's some Frenchmen that never leave the Irish Sea. In the 70s there was a right fleet of beam trawlers came from Holland. We had our radar 1-1 on the 12 mile scale, and I counted 70 these big fellas, like, and oh God, they were unbelievable to what they are in the Isle of Man, like 1,000 horsepower. We couldn't understand 1,000 horsepower. And there was 70 of these I could count. And like, if you put the radar on a larger scale, there was another fleet outside of them, but never got around to counting them.
So about what horsepower were the Manx boats? So about 50
well,
boats?
Well, we were 150, and we weren't the largest, but there wouldn't be many that many bigger than us, like 200 horsepower to 230. Like, they've gone up a bit more now to what they were, but at that time we had 150. We, as I say, we weren't the largest, but there wasn't that many that was larger than us. We had a nice little bed of greenies outside, just 12 miles off here, and we were doing well. We were very happy with what we were catching, and these beamers moved in overnight, and that ground had gone desolated. And they used to have a hospital ship coming around with them.
Oh, right.
I think they used to catch some. Well, there was a Dutchman who came to work with us in the 70s there, and they used to reckon they were catching 5 tonne of soles a night. That was another hard job. I don't know what they were towing then at the time, but they're only towing for about an hour now, an hour and a half. You imagine 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah.
We've got a mate that's got a, well, brother's got a maiden island. This boat is 130 foot. I think she's 2,000 horsepower, and he went and done a trip with them, and his sister, one of them, he says, what speed you tow at? And he just looked at him and he's daft. He says, what do you mean what speed we tow at? Put the handle down, she's still flat out. His expenses for that week would give us a very good week's wages in our boats. That's the thing we noticed. When we got the Chrysalis, she was only 180 horsepower, but it was a different type of engine to the 150 that we had in the Manx made, and she'd burn twice the fuel, because in the latter years when we were left to three, one boat had 170, the other one they had 150, we only had 180 Kelvin, like on shaft horsepower, it was equivalent to 240. We used to burn twice as much. We used to take whatever they ordered, we took that on our own. If they took 150 gallons each, we'd take 300.
Which means that it's more expensive.
That's
for the
right,
boat.
Yeah. That's when we first got the chrysalide. The old man says, "What's your expenses all? You just haven't been there, now, boys, in it." He says, "What was that?" He says, "We can have a bloody good week's wages out of that on the same mackerel to what he was used to." That's the biggest killer that's gone on the fishing, is the expenses. Everything you do for a boat, especially a fishing boat, everything seems a double price.
Did you ever have any problems? I know in the Irish Sea there's been the concern about sort of the submarine activity and the sort of there being all the subs.
They mainly stuck to the Peel side because Douglas side is a bit more shallow. There was, I only remember ever seeing two in my life. One was on top of the water. I've never seen, well, you wouldn't see them under the water anyways, but we never had no problems with them whatsoever. Whether they're actually there or not, I don't know. But on the Peel side, you used to see them. Well, I never actually seen them. I never had no trouble at all, but I know they used to go down through the fleet of boats. Because you used to hear them on the wireless, and they'd be saying there's a bloody submarine around here somewhere. Especially in the latter years, sort of thing. Because, you see, as things go on, you see the wireless has got better, so they transmit more now. Like years ago, they wouldn't be transmitting or anything like that, but... you know, everything's gone there, don't think now you hear more.
Right.
Well, telephones, everything. Yeah. We had used to have wirelesses in the boats that we'd hear everything that was going on. They scanned every channel. Because there's that many boats, so they've changed the channels. Like, we're only supposed to have 8 channels or something. But the VHF that we had at that time, we only had about 8 channels. Or something like that, yeah. And there'd be that shock, so everybody was getting bigger sets so they could get a channel on their own. And then he came out with these scanners, so he'd be listening on every channel. And which sometimes he didn't pay for. The first time we used it, first morning out, it paid for itself. You just heard somebody on the wireless saying they were seeing these marks of heron, and we just went up and shot for them, and we got them. And they didn't.
You got there first.
No, well, they got there first, but just they didn't tell them, you know.
Right.
And you see, we used to work Channel 11, they were on 10 or something. Yeah. And the partner didn't have a scanner, so we had the scanner so we could hear them. And I says, "Well, they've just all and had nothing." I says, "We'll keep it going." And he had a little bit of a problem, but we still kept it going. And when we heard up, we had our quota. So that was more or less paid for itself the first day. Like, I don't know, I was only about 130 quid or something. But, so, like, if you go on most.